if they faked the moon landing, that's more significant than if they'd actually gone. If that's true that they faked it, we have this great truth that mankind needs to know about themselves. It's like having cancer and not knowing it. You know, whoever killed Kennedy, he's still dead. It's just a matter of who did it and why. 9/11, all those people are still dead. It's just a matter of who did it and why. This is different. This is positive. This is a positive lie that people wanted to hear. And you'll be taking away their candy and giving them a big plate of manure instead. And when you do that, according to the NBC news director, who I showed the footage to that I uncovered, who concluded immediately, it absolutely proves they did not go to the moon. And then he went on to say, I will not broadcast it because it will cause a civil war. If you go to Sobrel.com, watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It opens with scripture. Where there is pride, then comes disgrace. Everything concealed is meant to be revealed. Let us build a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves.
Welcome to the Days of Noah podcast, where we talk all things biblical, supernatural, and strange. Today, Luke and I are privileged to bring on Bart Sobrel, the filmmaker of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. Bart has been blowing the whistle on NASA's lies for quite a few years now, ever since he put out his two films exposing the fraud of the Apollo moon landing. And we know this is a controversial topic. Not everybody agrees with all of the points up for debate. And we don't discuss a whole lot of those points up for debate, all of the reasons why they didn't go. There are many, and we hope to do that with Bart in a future episode. But what we try to focus on here is the implications for the lie. If it is a lie, then, as Bart has said many times, it is more significant that they lied about it and covered up that lie than if they actually had the capability to achieve going when they said they did. What does it say about their intentions? If they went to the trouble to lie to the entire world. So, we hope you enjoy this episode with Bart. Guys, remember to share this episode with your family and friends. Take a moment to click 5 stars, leave it a positive review, as that does help to improve the algorithm so that more people can find our work. And if you'd like to support us further, please click a support link in the show notes description. And if you have any questions or comments for the show, feel free to email us at thedaysofnoahpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, let's jump in with Bart Sobrel. We are privileged to have Bart Sobrel with us, welcoming him to the Days of Noah podcast. And Bart, I've been a fan of your work for some time, you know, watching your films, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and Astronauts Gone Wild. And I thought maybe just to introduce you to our listeners, just kind of tell some of your background briefly. And I thought it'd be good because I don't know if I've heard more than just a footnote or two about kind of your Christian testimony would be cool. But yeah, how you kind of got into filmmaking and this whole, I mean, it really does seem like a divine providence kind of thing when you look at all of the things that lined up, especially reading your book, for you to get this truth out there. But wherever you want to start there.
Yeah, I guess let's just start out letting people know the website, Sabrell.com, my last name, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com. You can watch a lot of these films we're talking about for free. And the book you spoke of is interactive. There's 17 video links. I basically write a chapter and say, look, if you want to better understand the next chapter, take a break, go to video link number one at Sabrell.com, and then so forth and so on. And in regard to my life, I guess, you know, flashing back, I remember, I think in the first grade, being the narrator of a Christmas play and then playing Santa Claus one year. And I guess I got the performance bug. And so I started out being an actor. I did my first professional show at age 14. I wrote my first play at age 12 that was performed in school. So I was a playwright at 12 years old. And I think I started acting, I guess, as three, and I thought that was going to be my career. And after doing theater quite a bit, I've probably been on stage over 500 times, I started thinking, you know, who are these people's authors that I've never met, whose words I'm treating like the gospel? I could, you know, start keep writing plays. And then I met a person who had professional video equipment in their company for corporate films, and we would borrow their gear on weekends to shoot my art films. And then when I heard someone needed a TV commercial done, I showed them some of my films and they hired me. And then I figured, well, I might as well start a video production company. So the interesting way how this ties into the moon landing fraud is my profession is to make fake scenes look real. And I remember shooting one of my first films, I think it won an award from the American Motion Picture Society for best editing. And a colleague of mine who was more experienced than me said, I love the way you used a sunset in the background. And I said, wow, that was really a light that I was mimicking the sunset with, but I appreciate the compliment. So my job is to make fake scenes look real. And so that's how I kind of noticed at first that the photographs that they claim were taken on the moon were in fact lit with electrical light. And if you go to Sabrell.com, one of the four videos on the homepage is the moon landing fraud in 3 minutes, where we show shadows and sunlight. You can just go out in your front yard or parking lot at lunch and look at two trees, two telephone poles, or two people standing on a cloudless day, and their shadows always run parallel and never intersect. Well, in multiple pictures, objects are intersecting, the shadows are at 90 degrees from objects 5 feet apart, which means it's electrical lighting, which means they're on Earth. And so you can really prove the moon landing fraud with one single picture. And so that's kind of my background. And I was a big fan of the moon missions, even more so than most people, because my father was in the Air Force. And when they allegedly landed on the moon, I was asleep in bed as a four-year-old. But afterwards, I got a VIP package that was given to my father of 9 by 12 color prints, I think about 20 of them, of Apollo 11 allegedly on the moon. And wherever we moved, which was about every 2 years, that was a prominent place in my bedroom wall, like a shrine, all the pictures together in one spot. So I saw these pictures thousands of times before I even considered the possibility that they might be falsified. And you know, if your podcast sounds like it's a spiritual one with your opening question, I think it says in the Bible, Obadiah, that pride blinds you from seeing the truth. And as you know, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So I decided, well, what's the definition of pride? If I were writing the dictionary, I would say pride is the unwillingness to be wrong. And so I've talked to college professors of aerospace, and they said, even if Buzz Aldrin confessed on national TV that the moon landings were fake, he'd still think he walked on the moon anyway. And that's pride if it's not. And so, yeah, there is divine providence in me making this movie. I originally turned down the project after doing about 6 months of research, shadows intersecting in the Soviets, doing every space milestone first, being pretty much five times more advanced than the United States in space technology, and the behavior of the astronauts and the administrator resigning. It seemed kind of odd to me that it might actually be true that they faked it. And then I thought, well, you know, I like puzzles and I kind of have a never give up personality. If anyone could uncover this, it would probably be me. And then I thought, but if they really did not go and I start looking into this, it could be dangerous because I'm sure the government, CIA, whoever, would not want this fact to be revealed. So I turned down the project. And I said, I'm not going to risk my life for what Nixon did. I want to have a family someday. 5 years go by. I had another client at my production company who was a famous Christian musician. And they said they would get a screenplay of mine to a famous producer if I would do them a favor. And I said, what favor? They said, read the Bible. And I had the Bible on the shelf with the dictionary, thesaurus, and the encyclopedia in case I needed to write a scripture or something. Never read the thing. It was just too thick, and my dad kind of turned me off to reading when he forced me to read pages out of the encyclopedia for a penny a page or something as a kid. But they gave me a one-year Bible, which divided the Bible into 365 daily reads. And I remember starting reading, I think it was June 3rd, 1989, the day the man stood in front of the tanks in China. And 5 years went into the future from that. I had read the Bible five times. And I wasn't a Christian, but it developed in me a conviction that there is right or wrong, that there is a God. Things don't make themselves. And if they fake the moon landing, that's more significant than if they had actually gone. And so if that's true that they faked it, we have this great truth that mankind needs to know about themselves. It's like having cancer and not knowing it.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm going to die anyway. And this is important. This is worth dying for. So I changed my mind. And as God would have it, the few days later, I meet a millionaire who builds rockets for NASA, who knows the moon missions are fake, who considered it his patriotic duty to expose it. He gave me the money. We started producing. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon, which you can see for free at Sibrel.com on the homepage. And the film took 7 years to produce at nearly $1 million. And I got classified footage from a whistleblower at NASA who gave me this tape that when you pop it in, it says, don't show to the public. And it's dated 2 days into the flight of the first mission to the moon, allegedly. And they're faking being halfway to the moon with a 1 foot model of the Earth. And the lights come up and you see it's a model. We have the unedited behind the scenes version. And so it means they could not leave Earth orbit because they're faking just being halfway to the moon. And here we are, 54 years later, and they still cannot leave Earth orbit. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon. So funny, isn't it? You can play golf on the moon and drive cars on the moon with 1960s technology, but 54 years later, you can only send mannequins to orbit and not even land. And so this is the first time in history that there was greater technology in the past and in the future, because today, with five decades better rockets and computers, they can only send astronauts 1,000th the distance to the moon. So what they're really claiming is when all of NASA had 1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone, they sent astronauts 1,000 times farther on the first attempt ahead of schedule than they can do today with five decades better technology. And of course, it's impossible to have better technology in the past and the future. It's never happened in the history of the world. Just 10 years after they blew up the atomic bomb, it was 1,000 times more powerful. So if we could go to the moon on the first attempt with 1960s technology before cell phones and microwaves, we would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system by now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. And if it weren't for people's emotional attachment to this, you know, the glorious moon landing, they would see the truth. And I did Glenn Beck radio show a few months ago, and he criticized a video. I said, well, we have NASA saying the technology to go beyond Earth orbit has not been invented yet. He says, no, you don't. And I said, yeah, it's in a video. No, you don't. And I'm like, have you seen the video? Well, no. And then he has on an astronaut after me who is a murderer. He's associated, he's an accomplice to murdering people to cover this up, who claims to be a Christian. He's the only astronaut who has the audacity to claim to be a Christian. And as soon as it came out that the Russian, former Russian space director, former NASA equivalent, the leader of the Russian space agency, retired, said the moon missions are fake, they scrambled to put that fire out, and they have him on there with Glenn Beck's, quote, Christian audience, and they think by claiming to be a Christian, that means everything out of his mouth is true. You know, and in Glenn Beck's mind, the country has gotten bad, but at least we went to the moon. Go ahead. That's my rant.
That's a great start, and there's so many places to go from there that I'd like to, but I think since you mentioned, you know, such a big name as Glenn Beck, why don't we go on that track for a moment? Because Joe Rogan was famously, you know, very critical, skeptical of the moon landing being real. And then suddenly he just kind of soft pedals and recants from that, almost like, you know, somebody had a talk with him and said, okay, you're pushing it too far. And same thing with, you mentioned Alex Jones on one of your interviews. It's like they don't want to touch it. And I think that it's like a gatekeeping, right? So whether it's controlled opposition or gatekeeping or whatever, it's like they're allowed to say so much and no more. And this seems to be one of those issues.
It does, for some strange reason. And the interesting thing is that they both say they want to bring down corruption. And the key to doing that is exposing the moon landing fraud. Because, you know, whoever killed Kennedy, he's still dead. It's just a matter of who did it and why. 9/11, all those people are still dead. It's just a matter of who did it and why. This is different. This is positive. This is a positive lie that people wanted to hear. And you'll be taking away their candy and giving them a big plate of manure instead. And when you do that, according to the NBC news director, who I showed the footage to that I uncovered, who concluded immediately, it absolutely proves they did not go to the moon. And then he went on to say, I will not broadcast it because it will cause a civil war. He said, I'm not going to go down in history as the man who caused the next civil war. So he said, this is going to outrage the public. So how do we bring down corruption? We outrage the public. So the number one key to outraging the public is to show them that the moon landings are fake. It was an unnecessary lie. They could have just said, hey, look, you know, I mean, NASA doesn't have a problem postponing a schedule. They said they're going to return to the moon 10 times in 5 years and hadn't done it a single time, right? They said they were going to have a people orbiting the moon, right, in 2018, and 4 years later, right, 100% behind schedule, took double the time just to put mannequins to orbit the moon, not people, like they said they were going to do, right? But for some reason, they did it. Now, it dawned on me recently, guys, you may remember Clinton, President Clinton, when he got caught and finally admitted he had an affair. They said, why did you do it? And he said, because I could. Meaning, because I could get away with it. Why did they fake the moon landing? Because they could get away with it. That's how arrogant our leaders are. And then, as you know from my book, I put in the book many things that were not in the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, including the testimony of a widow of a murdered Apollo astronaut who was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, who she told me in a 4-hour interview, He came home from work on January 26, 1967 and said, "Hon, for some strange reason, the CIA is all over the launch pad today. Never seen them here before, ever. Why did they show up today?" Very next day, the guy's dead from faulty equipment. And this was only days after he took a bunch of reporters to the top of the rocket and called the moon rocket a piece of junk in front of the national media.
That was Gus Grissom, and he famously held a lemon on it. Look at this thing. How are we going to get to the moon?
We have our government deceiving us with our own money. We paid to be deceived. And then we paid the salaries of the CIA agents to kill our brethren.
Did you hear that?
Trying to expose their crimes.
Did you hear? Was there something too, like they filled the ship up with 100% oxygen or some just totally nonsensical thing? And that was the fire? Yeah.
They did. And there was also, I got the official Apollo fire report, which they renamed so that technically it wasn't classified, but you can never find it. It's like if you're looking for Moby Dick, but they file it under W instead of M, you'll never find it, right? So I think they called it the Apollo 201 accident report or something. They didn't call it Apollo 1, so you can never find it in the archives, and that way they could claim it wasn't classified. Well, I got the thing. I paid $10,000 for it.
Wow.
From the widow of one of the people who was killed, from Roger Chaffee. We got it from her. And it said right before the fire, there was a dip in electrical power, which means the CIA clamped something on there to cause the fire. They hit go. It caused a dip in the electrical power because they tapped into it. And then they found cyanide residue in there. And they reversed the door so that it had to open from the inside, the outside. They even found a pile of oily rags under Gus Grissom's chair.
Wow.
Make sure he got burned up because he would not cooperate with the moon landing fraud.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the level of, and you mentioned pride, but just pure evil as well. Just the nefarious, subversive, intense. I mean, CIA and NASA, right from the very beginning, were started from Operation Paperclip with Nazis and when Werner von Braun, the famous rocket scientist, a former SS officer, right? And
he would have been convicted, according to the State Department, had he lived one more year. They were about to throw him in jail.
Yeah,
for war crimes. Being a Nazi. So,
you know, let's talk about the CIA for a minute, because again, you know, I had a picture in my head, Bart, the other day as I'm listening to your book at work. And if I were a political cartoonist, this is what I would draw. I would draw, Satan, the devil, and his arm around a child, that would be presumably his son. And his son would be the CIA. And his son would look up at him and say, I want to grow up and be just like you, Dad. And the devil would reply, just keep up the lies. You know, you've talked about the wars, warring factions and different governments going on. But man, when I see like the Freemasonic control of our government and just the origins of these things from Operation Paperclip. I mean, it just boggles the mind that this is our government.
Well, you know, the solution is really simple. You just stop paying federal income tax and you shut down the federal government. I think if the federal government had the electricity plug pulled on them right now, every government agency, from the FBI to the CIA to the IRS, if you just pulled the plug, the electrical plug on them right now and prevented them from operating, I'm not sure anything would change in my life except having a third more income and the government not lying and killing people anymore. I mean, if electricity can flow left to right down a wire, then it can flow right to left. So why is it that a resident association can tell a landowner that you cannot plant a garden in your front yard because it's not aesthetically pleasing? It needs to be in reverse. We've had top-down governments since the beginning of time that That's called tyranny.
Yeah.
So why not have bottom-up government that the landowner has supremacy over the resident association? And then if the mayor says this is a gun-free city, but if the resident association wants to allow open carry, then that's their right. The mayor doesn't live there. So the resident association then has supremacy over the mayor. And then why should the governor in Sacramento be able to tell the mayor in Los Angeles what they can and cannot do? No, the mayor has supremacy over the governor. And then the governor, I guess, without the federal government, we don't really need a president. And the last chapter of my book is what to do about this mess. And the first democracy that lasted 500 years, and I doubt if we're even going to last half that long because we're coming up on the halfway point. And, or I guess might be a little bit past it, but they chose their Congress and Senate by lottery, right? Now, we choose by lottery whether to decide the death penalty, right? People chosen at random are deciding life or death, and that's considered perfectly fine and legitimate. So I think people chosen at random can decide whether or not to put on a bottle of ketchup, this contains GMOs. Because 90% of Americans, 90%, wanted GMO labeling. When have 90% of Americans agreed on anything? The last time it was December 6, 1941, to not enter the war. And then a day later, 90% wanted to enter the war.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why that is vetoed when 90% of Americans want it. That's not a democracy. That's
no,
a dictatorship.
Not at all.
And when you have to ask permission to go to church, permission to open your business, permission to fish on your own property, that's slavery. Either one group is a parent and the other group is children, or one is the owner of a slave. I mean, the people in California were telling you, you can only have 4 people at your child's birthday party. If you have 5, we'll arrest you and turn off your electricity. I mean, how dare they? How did that become normal? I don't care if 9 out of 10 people are dropping dead. It's still your right to go shopping or open your business. After all, 10% of the people are still alive and need toilet paper, and 10% of the businesses that sell toilet paper are still open.
Yeah.
So you can advise us there's a snowstorm or a rainstorm or a disease blowing around, but what's freedom? Well, freedom is freedom is freedom. I mean, come on. So our first document, the Declaration of Independence, not the Constitution, says when any government becomes destructive of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. So it's legal to get rid of a corrupt government. It's not succeeding. It's not succession. And succession is not illegal. It's not. The Declaration of Independence gives us that right in writing. And what did they do according to Betty Grissom and Scott Grissom? They murdered Virgil Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee because they were going to expose crimes of the criminals that run the federal government. They're destructive of life right there. And liberty, they're taking away your right. They say, get this, first they say for a year you can't go to church, and then they say when you can go to church, you can't sing. Do you realize the audacity? What are they, Nazis? You can go to church, but you can't sing? Who are you to tell us what we can and cannot do, whether you believe in God or not?
Right.
I mean, that's outrageous.
It's really, it really was a test run, I think, for, you know, what they could get away with, you know, for the future mark of the beast, because they want to get people to have a collective memory of them coming in and providing this solution and, you know, dividing up the populace, who's going to go along with this and who's not. And I think, you know, to your point about the government and, you know, at this point we've had, you know, we had Roosevelt knowing about Pearl Harbor before it happened. We had the Gulf of Tonkin that led to Vietnam, admittedly, not happening. You know, you've got 9/11 with all that shenanigans. You got the moon landing. You got the whole COVID plandemic that was what was engineered. You have the stolen election recently. I mean, if anyone believes their government at this point, that's on you. You're the fool. I mean, we have more than enough in this age of information, right, to know not to trust them at this point.
Welcome to the Lost Roman Heroes podcast. My name is Matthew.
And my name is Matteo.
We are serious nerds for Rome, and we are father and son.
Together on the Lost Roman Heroes podcast, we dive deep into the history of Rome, from its origin story starring Aeneas of Troy to its death with Constantine the 11th, uncovering Rome's greatest heroes along the way and ranking them.
There are plenty of great podcasts on the big men in Rome's history, guys like Caesar, Augustus, and Constantine, but that's not us. We're making this podcast to shed a light on Rome's forgotten heroes. From Cincinnatus to Scipio, from Aurelian to Belisarius and beyond, you will not believe the gems that we uncover. So please come join the Legion of Lost Roman Heroes and listen to us wherever you get your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, or find us at www.lostromanheroes.com.
Well, it has to go beyond not trusting them. It has to be putting the criminals out of business. You can't have a town where one child disappears every month for 50 years and just say, oh, well, it's just like the rain and thunderstorms and just one of those things. Children disappear one a month. Oh, well, what can you do? Oh, well. No, it needs to be more than, yeah, they're corrupt and they lie. Oh, well, what can you do? No, something needs to be done about it. Why not just stop paying federal income tax and turn off the electricity? And I don't see why we can't have governors decide by majority vote whether we go to war or not with you know, in a time of war. Why not just have the military bases stay where they are? If you got a base in Texas, good for Texas. If you got one in California, good for California. Whatever, right? And what you could do is, if you choose your Congress and Senate by lottery, right, that would be filmmakers and dentists and people who sweep the street would then become members of Congress. Down-to-earth, real people.
That's right.
What we need. And you have a one-term limit of 5 years for every office for life. You can be sheriff once, mayor once, congressman once. And then among those people, those Congress, in fact, why do we even need Congress and Senate? Let's make it simple. You know, call it Senate, call it Congress or whatever. And then those people, once they get to know one another, can nominate maybe five candidates for president, right? And then the public can watch debates among the five and then vote and pick the best three and then pick the best two and then pick the best one if we even need a president. And there you go. How can there be payback and corruption when the entire Congress and Senate is chosen by lottery, right? Think how many problems. That's like sweeping away 98% of the corruption with one little one sentence rule.
It would. Yeah. I think at some level, though, the entrenchment is not just the system we have. The entrenchment is the ones behind the scenes that pull the strings. It's a Freemasonic system, and there's no way they're giving up control. I agree with you with your solutions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you bringing me down to reality. I'm afraid I have to agree with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because obviously this is a spiritual podcast. And as you know, if you go to Sobral.com, watch A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It opens with scripture.
Yes.
Where there is pride, then comes disgrace. Everything concealed is meant to be revealed. Let us build a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. They did it just to boast. It was never finished. Then we showed the Titanic that they put in publicity posters, the ship that God himself could not sink. We know what happened there. Then we show Nixon talking to the astronauts allegedly on the moon when they're not, and he knew they weren't, calling putting a man on the moon when he knew it was fake the greatest event since creation. Yeah. This is a blasphemous event. It's the greatest accomplishment of mankind. It's the Tower of Babel. Now, my spiritual belief is that the truth will come out. My logical belief is that it won't. The rebuke of the Tower of Babel was known. It was known to the world. Jesus even says, as you know, When you build a tower and don't finish it, you look like a fool.
That's right.
And so the fact that the Tower of Babel was built and not finished was an open rebuke to the world. The rebuke of the Titanic was to the world. They boasted, the ship that God himself cannot sink. I'm sure they said that more than once. And the world knew about that rebuke. This has been delayed. So I can only guess that the delay is purposeful. For example, if you have a couple madly in love with one another, they get married. 6 weeks into the marriage, one of them's at a convention, gets insanely drunk, has an affair. They could come back home and tell their six-week-old spouse they had an affair, and you can either divorce me or whatever you want to do, but I just need to be honest with you. Or the other option is they tell them on their 50th anniversary when they're old and walking with canes. Oh, hon, by the way, I never told you this. You know, when we were married for 6 weeks, I had an affair. Which is more shocking? I think the 50th anniversary. I think God getting people to believe this for a long time and they're totally committing to it. And people, news people, defending the criminals that claim to be anti, you know, corruption. Maybe that's why. I agree with you that the people who run the world aren't going to give it up easily. And in my biblical interpretation, they're actually going to win. There's the scripture, I think it's in Matthew 24:25. Jesus says it will get so bad in the last days, there'll be greater tribulation than the entire history of the world.
Right.
And unless God personally intervenes, no one will be saved. I take that. My interpretation is that the evil people are going to win. I mean, they did such a fabulous job, killed Kennedy, broad daylight, swapped out the windshield in 1 hour with the bullet hole coming from the front. And somehow the Secret Service, no one complained. No one complained to Congress, to the Senate, to the FBI. They're getting rid of evidence that the bullet came from the front. Everyone went along with it or was afraid, you know, to lose their job or life or something.
Yeah.
Then they did the moon landing fraud and got away with that. Then they did 9/11. Then they did this little scenario for the last 3 years. They're just getting better and better and better. I don't think that, you know, they technically could be stopped. For example, I could, starting today, do 300 push-ups a day, like I used to back in the day. But will I do that starting today? Probably not. With people spending more time watching television than they do at work, they spend more time per week, including Saturday and Sunday, than they do at work watching television. Then they got to drive to work. Then they got to spend time with their family. Then they got to eat and go to the dry cleaner, get the car fixed. Everyone is in screens. I challenge anybody listening, and you too, and myself as well. Go to the next restaurant, okay? Anywhere you want to go, you know, the pizza place, the steakhouse, wherever. Go in there and walk, do a loop through the restaurant, and I guarantee you that 90% of the people there are not talking to one another, but having their faces and cell phones.
Yeah.
They travel this great distance. I talk about this in the book, Live Near a Park, that people drive to walk around the lake, and a husband and wife, son and daughter are all walking around the lake looking at their cell phones.
That's right. That's the world they've created.
And so how is there time to change the world, especially when censorship is so prominent and people are begging for it somehow? Somehow censorship is now normal. I just don't understand this. I just don't understand this at all. I don't think anybody, now I'm not saying I agree with Tucker Carlson's, you know, agenda or not. I don't get involved in politics. The Bible says a soldier of Christ does not get involved in civilian affairs. And I don't care if World War II is going on. If a reporter wants to interview Hitler and print what he has to say, I think that would be a good idea because we'll show how crazy the guy is. You know what I mean? And how racist he is. So why not interview the guy, right? And I don't know if Putin is good or evil. I have a hard time believing he's good because he used to be KGB. So let's hear what the guy has to say. I don't understand why a journalist interviewing a world leader is such a big deal. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? I mean, nobody is doing their job. There was this nonprofit press watchdog group that looked at 1,500 newspapers throughout the country. And they focused on the story of Chavez or someone in South America that the CIA openly said, we're going to try to kill. Okay. And he's democratically elected. We promote democracy, right? And the CIA goes on TV and says, we're going to kill him, which is illegal. And they don't care. They're boasting about it. And so, oddly enough, out of 1,500 newspapers, all of them, 100%, said killing a democratically elected leader in South America was a good idea. Not one dissent. 100% control. And as you know, from one of the links at Sobral.com, we show the news, ABC, NBC, CBS, in the lower right-hand corner, they're repeating the news story word for word. Central Intelligence, Central Information Agency. Information is, quote, news. There is no news. A story comes out 20 years ago, makes the little, you know, interest news, like the president gets a cat or whatever. And they say, hey, some guy in Amsterdam watched a funny thing happen on the way to the moon, where Neil Armstrong allegedly picked up a moon rock, personally gave it to the prime minister of the Netherlands. They put it in a rock, and for the first time in 30 years, they opened it up, put it in a microscope, and it's fake. It's petrified wood that looks out of this world, but unless trees are growing on the moon, it makes a news story. Moon rock is fake. Does anyone ask the next question? Well, then what about the moon missions? I had an interview with the Washington Post that broke Watergate. Maybe breaking Watergate was intentional. Maybe that was a CIA operation. And so he was doing an anniversary piece about the moon landing. Isn't it interesting that some people believe we didn't go to the moon? And I said, well, did you watch the film? Yes. Did you see the footage of them faking being halfway to the moon? Yes. And I said, what did you think about that? He says, I can't explain it. It looks like they didn't go to the moon. I said, okay, well, you're a reporter with the Washington Post. You just admitted out of your own mouth, it looks like they didn't go to the moon. Why don't you do a story about that? He says, well, if I did that, I would be fired. So the first NBC news director refuses to broadcast it because it's true, and he's afraid of the consequences. He's afraid that if we show the public how corrupt the federal government is, corrupt enough to fake the moon landing, that it'll bring an end to the corrupt federal government. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? So 10 years go by, another news director sees the footage, flies me to New York, puts me up in a fancy hotel, pays me thousands of dollars for the exclusive nationwide broadcast license to show this footage of them faking being halfway to the moon nationwide, and they get a call from the federal government threatening to unplug their FCC license or something like that, and they back down.
So sad. So sad.
So this is, I mean, I thought freedom of the press was in the Constitution. So anything that is not freedom of the press is a violation of the Constitution. So threatening a reporter with firing them for covering a story, that's a violation of the Constitution. All 1,500 newspapers having the same opinion is a violation of the Constitution. Shutting someone's ad revenue off because of their opinion is a violation of the Constitution. The Constitution is being violated all the time.
Yes.
And no one's doing anything about it because the people who should be doing something about it are all corrupt.
So, Bart, what can we do? I want to ask you, maybe we can get into some of the details of what was going on during that time frame. So obviously we were in a space race, right? So in your opinion, why did the government, if we didn't have the capability, like you said, why couldn't they just be honest? We can't make it. Why did they have to lie about the moon landing? Why did they have to do that?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. Another way of rephrasing it is, why can't a snake be compassionate? It just can't. And why can't they tell the truth? Because that's not who they are.
Or maybe another question is, what did the U.S. benefit from saying that we made it to the moon versus saying we don't have the technology quite yet?
Yeah, well, If they would have told the truth, that means they're a different entity than they are. That would mean Kennedy would still be alive. That would have meant the Vietnam War wouldn't have happened. If the people, when the deadline approached of the moon landing fraud, admitted, well, we can't do it, we're going to have to postpone it, instead of faking it, that means Kennedy would still be alive. That would mean the Vietnam War wouldn't have happened and 3 million more people would have been alive. So you're asking, why does a snake behave like a snake, is what you're really at. Now, what benefit did they get from it? A lot. The main thing is financial. It cost $200 billion in today's dollars to allegedly go to the moon. And they probably, at the most, spent 25% of that, you know, putting a man in Earth orbit so that he could go up in front of the rocket and splash down later and make it look as much as possible like they went to the moon. And then I think they learned a psychological benefit from it. This little thing that we've been going through for the last 3 years, I think one of the main objectives of it was a psychological training of the public, training people to submit, to give up their freedom during a, quote, emergency, training people, right? You train a dog on a leash or with a shock collar. And so this little thing for the last 3 years, you can't go to church, you can't sing at church, you can't have birthday parties. You can, you know, they said you can have a wedding, but you can't have any dancing. Actually said that. One group of people claims they can tell another group of people that they can't dance at their wedding. Now, if that's not slavery, I don't know what is.
So I agree with you. We definitely it created a budget that you could call as a black budget. You know, where was that money really going? You know, for all those decades. Now, as far as the populace, I think everyone became very patriotic, very proud of what we supposedly accomplished. So I don't know where the psychological aspect was negative, other than the war being a lie.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Luke. The psychological benefit from it was twofold. We'll get to your point second. The first point is, I think the CIA learned from it. They it's like doing a war game and you really don't know what the outcome will be. But once you have an outcome, you're like, oh, wow, that was valuable information, right? They did a war game recently, you may know, and they lost against China. It's like, oh, darn, how did that happen? We need to change this up a bit. So the first thing they got, I bet they were shocked that they got away with it so easily. And then secondly, your point is absolutely true. The Vietnam War was going on. And Richard Nixon, president at the time, said the number one threat to America is not Vietnam, not China, not Russia. It's people protesting the federal government. He said that out of his mouth. The number one threat to America is American citizens protesting the corrupt federal government.
But it was also, I agree with you, but it was also, we went from, you know, fighting the Nazis to now we have a new enemy. It's communism. So Russia was on the radar. You had the buildup of the arms race. Vietnam had to do with the Nazis coming in that area as well, if I remember my history right. So, I mean, being patriotic and fighting this evil over there has always been, in my mind, part of it. But I'm curious on something else. So if we didn't go and this money is being spent, who knows where it's being used. So NASA is no more, right? Now we have private entities like SpaceX and such, and they're getting government money. So what do you believe is our capability present day? Do you believe that the space station is actually up there? Do you believe in Elon Musk's company is actually sending goods and the satellite? Do we have the technology to break orbit to go to the moon now?
Well, no. If the South Pole has 100 mile per hour winds, 100 degree below zero, but there are bases there. You know why? Because it can't be done. So if it could be done, with today's technology to go to the moon, there would be bases there. They're not bases there, so it can't be done. They can't even send humans to orbit the moon. They had to send mannequins. Yes, I believe you can orbit the Earth. Yes, I believe the space station is real, although there's probably one or two more space stations that we don't know about. And the space station that was up there originally might have been pushed into outer space for some reason. And that could be why some of the footage is falsified. I think they, let me finish up one other point. I'll get back to that, but you're right. I wanted to say, because of the protests against the federal government, because of the Vietnam War, this was a pep rally.
Right.
As you'll read in my book, we have an eyewitness to where they filmed the moon landing fraud who stood beside President Johnson, who coined the CIA code name, which was Slam Dunk. When you fake the moon landing, you can guarantee its success. You're not going to kill them. It's in the can. It was filmed a year in advance. And so you were right, Luke. It's a great pep rally for America. And that was very valuable because people were mad at the federal government. And so the second psychological tactic, first was they learned from deceiving people. It was an exercise at deceiving people, and they learned how easily it can be done and what worked and what didn't work. And then secondly, it was a great boost in patriotism. People waved their flag and cried and prayed for the astronauts. They printed it on coins. They printed it on stamps. It's in the encyclopedia. They put it on lunch boxes, you see? So that's why the truth coming out is going to infuriate people. Yeah. You see, they went to such a degree to lie. In fact, I only recently, if you followed some of my interviews, got infuriated recently. If you've listened to my last interviews over the last 2 months, I'm mad. And you know why? It's that lunchbox. Somebody sent me a picture of an eBay lunchbox from 1969 with the men on the moon coming out of the lunar module. Brainwashing children. I mean, it's just something about that made me angry, and I haven't let go of that anger yet. And so yeah, they can orbit the Earth and they can do space stations. I think by launching so many space shuttle launches in such a short amount of time. I mean, they did like 135 of them in 10 or 20 years. It's like 3.5 launches a year on average. It's extraordinarily fast. People should be concerned about that. You don't drive. I mean, when you're in your ambulance or fire truck there, Luke, you drive fast, right? To get there, because maybe you can stop the bleeding before they die, right? But the sooner you get there, the sooner chance you have. So the fact that you're driving fast means there's an emergency. And the fact that they're launching 3.5 space shuttle missions a year for 20 years, there's some emergency. Hello? there's some emergency that
now,
they're not telling.
Doesn't some other nations have a space program? Like Russia has Cosmonauts. I don't know if the European Union and stuff. So I'm curious, you know, why they haven't pushed, you know, why they stopped. You know, they see the U.S. supposedly arrive on the moon. And it's like, why didn't they continue their efforts? Are they in on the lie? Or are they?
They are in on the lie, but it just can't be done. I mean, it just can't be done. And so they can send a probe to the moon, and China has done that. Russia has done that. The United States, as best as I can tell, did that as well. But that's all that you can do. You don't keep trying something that's impossible, right? If Evel Knievel is trying to jump 20 buses and he always lands on bus 5 10 times in a row, you're going to stop. You know what I mean? You're not going to keep trying something that you know will not work. I know somebody who works in the command center of the Chinese Space Agency, and he told me everybody there knows the moon missions are fake, and the government of China is blackmailing NASA for space technology. So the federal government is breaking their own Espionage Act law by sending technology that we should not be sending to China so that they won't blow the whistle on the moon landing fraud. And in fact, another breaking story that came out is the AI. But let me also say the number one defense of that the moon landings must be real is it involved 100,000 people, right? Well, the atomic bomb involved 100,000 people and only 8 knew what they were doing. And then the second reason would be that, Russia and China would blow the whistle. Oh, and by the way, let me add that the flight director said a control headquarter operator, the person sitting in the command center of Houston, could tell no difference whatsoever between the simulation and an actual flight. It's just a bunch of numbers going by on a screen. So they can't tell the difference. And then the idea that Russia or China would blow the whistle. Well, they could. It's like if I have a picture of a world leader with a prostitute, I could upload it to the internet and bring them out of office. And then what? Now it's not worth anything, right? Or I could blackmail them year after year after year after year. And that's what these chess players of China and Russia are doing. I have it from a source in China at the space agency in China. They are blackmailing NASA, the United States, for space technology to not blow the whistle on the moon landing fraud. The same thing in Russia. For example, about 3 months ago, Vladimir Putin was at a special convention. Okay, they have these conventions every year of TV equipment that I used to go to, of cars, you know, the latest car that can, you know, get 150 miles a gallon. And then they had the AI convention about 3 months ago in Moscow. And the most advanced AI, they allowed people to test for about 3 days. It's called the neural network. It's a bunch of AIs connected together to form a super AI, right? So I guess one team had it write a novel, another team had it paint a picture, another team had it compose a symphony, and one team fed it pictures through its special deep fake detecting program. You can feed it a video of Obama or Biden or whoever, and it'll tell you in 1 second whether it's a deep fake or not. And it's never been wrong. So they fed it 3 months ago pictures from the surface of the moon taken by the probes from China, which I believe are there. And it said, no problem, they're real. And then in comparison, which was the true genius of the test, they fed it pictures from the Apollo mission. And every single one of them it said was fake. Fake foreground, fake background, fake rock, fake this, fake that. And that's 3 months ago. It's not on RT. How about that? It's not on RT. You would think Russia would say, look at this. Putin was there. I have a video. Go to Sobral.com. Scroll down halfway. There's a video of Putin seeing the result of the moon landings being fake from the latest AI. He acts like he already knows. And he acts scared, which is very interesting.
You don't think Tucker asked him about the moon landing, do you? I didn't watch the
interview. No, but the interesting thing about him is, he said out of his own mouth about 5 months ago, when he first heard that the CIA was spying on the private phone calls of a president of the United States, he thought that was as silly as the moon landings being falsified. And then he said, I was wrong. They are spying. I mean, he should have known that beforehand. It was years earlier where a private conversation between a president of the United States and another world leader that the transcript was published in the New York Times. Tucker, did you forget that one 2 years earlier? Nobody asks, how is a transcript of a private conversation of the president of the United States and another world leader being published? Only the CIA would be able to tap into the president's phone, right? So, hello, it's been going on for a while. There was that governor in Illinois who was taken down because he was allegedly trading Obama's Senate seat, right? And they had a recording of him on his phone in his office negotiating, you know, trading it for something, right? Which is normal politics, right? No one asked, what is the federal government doing listening to the private phone conversations of governors? I mean, right? I'm sure you heard of Jesse Ventura, one-term governor of Minnesota, who the day after he's elected is brought down to the basement bunker in the Capitol, and he meets several CIA agents who admit they're CIA agents, but they refuse to show their name IDs. And they want to know how he won the election. Huh. What the heck is that going on? You see? So this is the world that we live in, and I don't know what we can do about it other than, what does it say in the book of Acts? Save yourself from this corrupt generation, right? Repent and pray. Pray that the truth of the moon landing fraud does come out. That would be, I mean, just imagine if it came out. It would be a glorious, glorious day.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is, and one of the verses that kind of guides, you know, shows like ours is, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And Bart, I just appreciate you as a bulldog of truth, you know, spreading the word. It's so sad that these people, the NBC and people, the one that flew you to New York and put you up in the Waldorf, ready to show this to the world, and they don't have the guts to do it. You just imagine if one of those guys wouldn't think about, oh, what about my job? What about my network? You know, and we barely scratched the surface here. If you're willing to come back, we'd love to have you. I think it would be good to talk a bit about some of those reasons to Luke's question. You know, why couldn't they have gone then, or why can't they go now? I think there's a lot of evidence that we can go over. I think there is a lot of spiritual significance, right? Of hubris.
Well, yeah. Let me add. I mean, yeah, first of all, they don't have enough fuel. They don't have enough fuel. We found Von Braun's original publication saying it would take 3 rockets, each taller than the Empire State Building, each weighing 800,000 tons. The Saturn V only weighed 2,500 tons, a difference of 30,000%. And then he said, and Musk said about 6 months ago, you'd have to build a fuel point halfway to the moon and ferry, according to Musk, 7 trips of fuel first. And then one of the clips at Sibrel.com under Moonman video clips is the engineer at NASA saying that they cannot travel to the moon because of deadly radiation that's 1,000 miles up and goes about 30,000 miles beyond that. Every orbital flight is well below that, except going to the moon. He said, it's out of his own mouth, the technology necessary to go through the radiation belt to the moon and back through the radiation back to Earth has yet to be invented. And then let me add with Pete's last comment there, the reason why I made this movie is because I was willing to die for what is right. And why is it that so many people are not willing to die for what is right? Luke is willing to die for what is right. He's a fireman. Yeah. He will give his life to rescue his enemy, right? If that's not a true Christian, I don't know what is, mm-hmm. right? He made a decision. A switch went off in his mind. I'm willing to die for what is right. And what a great way to go. But people, there's something wrong. People are not willing to die for what is right anymore. And why is that? Because they don't believe in God anymore. That's why.
Yeah,
God is gone. You know, and if you don't believe in God, then all you have is this world. That's it. That's all you have. And you will protect your home, and you will protect your money, and you will protect what's yours. Yes, sir, I will submit. Yes, sir, I will submit. I will not say anything. I will not rock the boat. You know what I mean? And what can you do? Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many go that way, and narrow is the way to life, and only a few find it. And what good is it to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? All these people, and we can name a few names, but we're as evil as they are, according to the Bible. We've just chosen to repent. And they will gain the world. They'll kill more presidents and fake more moon landings, and they'll gain the world, but they won't make it into eternal life, and that's a blunder on their part.
Yeah, the biggest of them all. Well said, Bart. Appreciate your time, and we'd love to do this again if you could, and I'd love to dig into a lot more of my notes that I took from some of your interviews, and because I just think there's so many facets to this, even beyond just the evidence, which I would like to go over with you, that you mentioned a few things briefly. There's just so many things to it. You know, the worship of science over God, the worship of the state, you know, there's so many aspects.
The interesting,
Yeah.
Yeah. The interesting thing is the god of science is the moon landing, right? What's the greatest accomplishment of science? Putting a man on the moon. The interesting thing, though, is if you said the messiah of science might be AI, and their messiah said the moon landing.
Christ consciousness.
And I think that could be the finger out of the dike. It may take a couple of years for people to realize what that means, right? Either Google, multi-billion dollar, almost trillion dollar company, spending billions of dollars on AI in years and years and years, don't know what they're doing, made a piece of junk, or they didn't go to the moon.
Yeah.
Right? Bart, I want to ask you more current event stuff really quick before you go. The Webb telescope. Obviously, that was well over budget, billions of dollars internationally funded, you know, for this Hubble telescope replacement that's not supposed to stay in our orbit, but it's supposed to go out to a certain area to look into deep space. I don't know. it raises questions, you know, did it actually deploy? Did they actually send it? There's a lot of questions.
I talked about this in one of the first chapters of the book. The meaning of the word wicked comes from candle wick. I look at a candle, looks like one strand to me, but if you look at it really close, it's two woven together. Wicked comes from lies and truth woven together. If the government lied all the time, it'd be too easy to figure out the truth. It's just the opposite. But they lie sometime and they tell the truth sometime. So the same with that satellite, Luke. I believe it's real. I believe it's launched into deep space. Now, the purpose of it, you see, the lie part is probably something very different. The reason why the space shuttle launched for 3.5 times a year for 20 years, 135 launches, whatever it was, I think there's an emergency. I think they're trying to zap an asteroid or something. And I think that satellite, that telescope, the telescope doesn't need to be, there's not much visibility increase going beyond Earth orbit to anything further. It doesn't really matter when you're dealing with optics, right? That's like saying with the binoculars or a telescope, if I move 10 feet closer, I'll get a better image. Not really. You know, I mean, I guess technically at a microscopic level. But so what is its real purpose? Its real purpose is probably to zap an asteroid or something like that, or maybe to zap it so that it hits the Earth instead it doesn't hit the Earth, right? I mean, Von Braun said that they were going to fake an alien invasion before he died, and he said right before that, there would be an asteroid threat. They can fake asteroids with a military project called Thor's Hammer, and they can steer an asteroid to hit the Earth or not hit the Earth at their will. And seeing how they want to depopulate the world, why not have it hit?
Bart, and that is best. That's a great place to leave off for now is the alien invasion. I've heard some things on that missing flight, the Malaysian flight, Project Bluebeam, the holographics, and really, and this is my opinion too, that part of faking the moon landing is this preoccupation with space, with aliens, with all of this idea to create a consciousness. Because one of the things that, you know, Luke and I and other shows like this talk about is a great deception that's coming could be, hey, we are your creators, a false god, a false messiah. And you can't have that unless you prepare the populace for this kind of idea. It's all in movies. Well, it's everywhere.
I have a feeling they're going to fake an alien invasion. I mean, the guy who faked the moon landing said they're going to do it. I mean, that's a lot of proof right there. And then I remember being in a hotel probably to do some interview somewhere, and I was flipping through the 10 free HBO movies, right? 3 of the 10 were about aliens from outer space. So if 3 of the 10 movies were about how great the president is, or 3 of the 10 were about how terrible the president is, I would say someone's trying to control your thinking. This guy named Stephen Greer, either he's a player or he's sincere, but sincerely wrong, is going around saying aliens are real. And you know what his number one proof is that aliens are real? because the Apollo astronauts say so.
Wow.
You see that? And they lied about the world's greatest accomplishment. And what would an alien invasion be? The next historical event to putting a man on the moon. And that's his proof. He thinks they went to the moon. Now, if somebody thinks something wrong like that, that the moon landings are real when they're not, their thinking is not correct. So if their thinking is wrong about that, what is their thinking about aliens? Incorrect also, in my opinion. And so this, if I may add, I don't know how much time you have, but I thought the show Alien, Ancient Aliens, I thought that was a one-time show, right? But apparently not. Apparently it's like a series. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't know that. So get this. And you guys know this from the Bible, but I find this very fascinating. If you go to Sobrel.com and scroll down, there's an article I spent 200 hours writing about, are there really aliens from outer space? And basically, it goes into great detail about how the show is basically having to answer a piece of science that came out about 10-20 years ago. They concluded a 10-year study of doing blood samples from all nationalities around the world, like Eskimos and Russians and Africans and whoever. And with the new DNA technology, they're able to trace it backwards in time. And so science concluded about 10-15 years ago that all human beings who ever lived and ever will live came from one woman, just like the Bible said. It's called the Eve Project. No, and no one before her. No evolution. She just popped into history, and every human came from her, just like the Bible said. Well, that's a problem for the evolutionists, right? So what can they do? So they said, okay, that's true. And this is what the ancient alien says. Says it from episode one and probably says it multiple times. Okay, that's true. Okay, all humans came from one woman, but there's no God. We were made by aliens.
That's right.
Well, no one asked the question in 3 years of episodes, the question that I would ask immediately as a third grader, which is, okay, if we were made by aliens, then who made the aliens?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody ever asked that question.
This is the days of Noah, Bart, because, and maybe we'll leave off with this, you know, the whole false narrative from ancient aliens, from all the pantheon of religions, this is what we talk about on the show often, is that, you know, these gods came down, Genesis chapter 6, the angels came down, they had sex with women, they procreated, they had the Nephilim. That pantheon of gods came from that interaction into our world, into the earth. And every deception and every false, you know, system of no, we are your creators, we are the good God, like Freemasonry says, the great architect of the universe, Lucifer, is the good God, and the God of darkness is the God of the Bible. So that whole juxtaposition is exactly what we love to talk about, that whole thing. But I know you got to run. Yeah.
Let me add one last thought, if I may, sure, on that. I don't know if you have a time limit, but
no, it's up to you.
So I believe what you're saying, and I only started looking into that a couple of years ago, and that's what the article is about, and it goes into great lengths, including, you may know, this high school student who did an analysis of the genealogical background of every president, and they're all of one bloodline, except one, right? And Genesis 3:15 says, I'll put war between two bloodlines, between the seed of, which is future offspring of Adam, and the seed of Lucifer. Well, get this. So if we were made by aliens, and aliens are really fallen angels, what they're really saying, the latest New Age philosophy, is we were made by Lucifer instead of God. Hmm. Because if we were made by aliens, and aliens are fallen angels, and isn't that what it says, I think, in Isaiah or Ezekiel chapter 14, that he wants to ascend, Lucifer does, and become like God. And do most churches don't believe what we're talking about,
nope,
which to me is another vote for it being true, because most people are wrong. Most theologies are wrong. The majority is almost always wrong. And when Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And it says most of the people left him because that is a hard teaching. Just because it's a hard teaching doesn't mean it's not true. The idea that there's an eternal God is a hard teaching for scientists. Because they can't comprehend eternity, it must not be true. Well, no, maybe you can't comprehend it. That doesn't mean it's not true. And so this is a hard teaching for some people. It doesn't mean it's not true. And I don't think it's a salvation issue. If you repent and share your faith and you make Jesus Lord of your life, I think, you know, my personal opinion, you'll make it, whether you understand these things or not. But your point is true, Pete, that all of the problems that we have are probably because of Genesis 6. That's probably why. And what can you do except pray and repent?
That's right. That's right. And Jesus said, you know, you can look at the clouds and know a storm is coming, but can you not interpret the seasons that we're in? And that's where, yeah, we need to be paying attention to this stuff and understand history. And the verse that just came to mind as you're talking there, the willing ignorance is, men loved the darkness because their deeds were evil.
Yeah, I mean, most people don't read past John 3:16, but that's so much more important than John 3:16, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Everyone knows John 3:16, believe and you will not perish, but then no one reads the rest of it. But this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil, and they will not come into the light for fear their deeds will be exposed. And when I called Buzz Aldrin a coward, a liar, and a thief, it was the coward that got the punch. And the reason is, I've been a coward, and I may be again, and a liar and a thief myself. So let me say that. He's afraid to look bad. He's afraid if he tells the truth, it will bring shame on him. He would become my hero if he told the truth. You know what it says in Revelation, I think second to the last chapter, paraphrasing, it's talking about the type of people who, if they continue in these types of sin, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. It lists the immoral, the liars, the thieves. You know what the first one is? The first one, the cowardly. Why do people take medicine for an illness they don't even have? Out of fear. Fear, right? Do you realize that do not fear is the most repeated commandment in the Bible, 365 times, one for every day of the year? And fear is a sin. I think it's in Romans 14. Anything without faith is sin.
Right.
So the opposite of faith is fear. Therefore, fear is a sin, right?
Yeah, and that all ties back, Bart, to, you know, these people that had an opportunity to really get your message out, to share this evidence and didn't want to. How many times in history, you know, I think of this often, in heaven someday we're going to sit around, hopefully, with God. I picture this, right? Sit around a campfire or something, and I'm going to be like, okay, can you tell me what really happened with that assassination? Can you tell me what really happened in that battle? Because like a movie screen, he could just show it to us. And I'm just going to be jaw dropped going, wow, I thought I knew that story, but he's got it. And
yeah,
how many people
I think my vision, similar to that, we're going to have about 100-year debriefing.
Yeah, debriefing.
Right? And if we want to see what it was like in Adam and Eve or who shot JFK or Cannon Air Force Base where the moon landings were filmed that I talk about in my book, I think it'll be more holographic. I think we'll literally be there.
Yeah.
Like in a hologram of the past. And we can walk around the grassy knoll as an invisible entity in this playback of that moment in time, you know? So I guess let me just conclude with, if you want to hear more, we didn't get a lot into the detail, and maybe we can do a part two
sometime.
I did a book going into great detail about all of this, which is audio, which I read myself, Kindle or print, at Sabrell.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Moon Man. I just, I crammed it the last 3 days at work. I had an Audible credit and tried to do my due diligence to prepare. Thank you so much, Bart, for your time. This was great. And, yeah, there's so many more subjects that I think are just really telling for the day and age that we live in, the deception that we live in. We need to not be unaware, as the Bible says, of the devil's schemes. And so why don't we get into maybe next time with a part two, some of those things. I didn't want to take too much time on that this time around because I think people can do their own research. But let's break down some of those things on the fakery that went on, and maybe have kind of just a bullet point condensed view of that. And again, there's just so much spiritual significance to all this stuff. So I think we could talk at length on that too. So thank you so much, Bart.
Oh, sure. And if you want to watch a funny thing happen on the way to the moon, which is what started it all, just go to Sobrel.com. It's right on the homepage.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. And somehow it's still on YouTube. I don't know. Somebody's still got it up
well,
there, which
can't
is amazing.
Take it down. That would be too obvious. That would mean I was right. But what they do is they shadow ban it. For example, there's that famous punch footage, right?
Yes.
Now, I have 60,000 subscribers. And I'm the originator of the footage, and it's been uploaded on my site for 7 years, and it has about 450,000 views. Then there's another channel that is pro moon landing and wants to make fun of me. They had less than 200 subscribers. It was up for 30 days and got 2 million views, which is a loss of about $4,000 or more in ad revenue. So why is it that someone with less than 200 subscribers in 30 days gets 2 million views because his channel is pro moon landing fraud, making fun of me on the same footage that I only get 450,000 in 7 years with 60,000 subscribers? How about that? I wonder how they're pulling that off. Oh,
yeah,
we don't
exactly.
Shadow ban. No.
Yeah. No, we should talk about that. The control of information. We touched on that. You've probably heard of Mark Dice, the conservative political commentator that does funny videos and political satire and stuff. He typed in the exact title of one of his videos, the exact title, and it was buried on page like 20 of the YouTube search results.
Unreal. Yeah, what can you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
All right, thanks, Bart. We'll let you go for now. Thanks so much. And yeah, you guys definitely check out Sobrel.com and A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and Astronauts Gone Wild and your book Moon Man. Thanks again, Bart. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. And God bless both Luke and Pete, okay?
Oh, appreciate it. You too in the Philippines there. All right, take care.
Sure, bye.